Hey girl, hey, and thanks for dropping in to the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast. Candid convo for the girl needing a lifestyle plot twist when she's deciding if it's time to switch, pivot, or quit. I'm Ayana Angel, and I'm your host, as well as chief encourager and author. And there's a reason that I created and host this podcast. It's for you. I was in your shoes. And for those who don't know, I want to give you a little background as to how we got here and why we're here. In short, I'm a former sports entertainment publicist turned traditionally published author and now your podcast host. When I worked at the NBA, I had a front row seat to all things spectacular in entertainment. I managed everything from red carpets to work in the playoffs. But somewhere in between, I started to wonder what was next. After doing some serious personal development work and eventually quitting, I was determined to get my first manuscript published. With no prior publishing experience, within 4 months, I had a deal in hand with Simon & Schuster to publish my debut book. After making a split decision, I drug all of my belongings down the stoop of my building in Harlem for a stoop sale to help finance a one-way ticket to London. Exactly 11 months later, my first book was published, Preseason Loved. It was released nationwide, and I had the experience of a lifetime living in hostels in London, rooming with complete strangers in shady council housing flats, getting lost among the canals of Venice, and trying to avoid capture by the Royal Palace guards in Morocco. That was the start of my journey to a drastically different life, my own switch, pivot, or quit. I hope this show serves as encouragement and inspiration for you, showing what you can do when you block out the demands of who others think you should be and go for what truly feels good to you. So today we are going to have some fun. Today's show, we have a special guest back in the building, back on the mic, Miss Sable B.
I feel like we need like a drum roll or something.
Introducing.
Ooh. And then I like run out on a court.
Exactly. So today we'll be talking about top five tips for being fearless in life and business. Now, how did we come up with these top five tips, you may wonder? Well, Sable was actually our special correspondent at the Fearless Conference in Philly this past weekend, and we had to have her on to bring back her top five takeaways from this two-day event. So that's what we're going to be running down. Now, before we jump into her takeaways, we are going to give you the takeaways first in a list so you know what to expect, so you know what's coming your way, so you can be prepared, okay?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
The first one is carve time out to reset as if it's a responsibility. The second one is persistence is key. The third one, follow up 6 times before leaving it alone. The fourth one, you can have it all. You can't have it all at the same time. And the fifth, an empowering fuck it factor. Yep, that's what I said. Mm-hmm.
She dropped an F-bomb. But she's quoting someone, so
really, there you go.
She's just quoting.
There you go. Okay, so Sable, thank you so much for being our special correspondent and attending the Fearless Conference in Philly. How was it?
It was really good. There was a lot going on between Friday and Saturday. But as you can see from our takeaways, there was a lot said. So I think that I walked away. I mean, really, it was like 10 tips, but you know, no one wants to sit down for a 3-hour podcast. So I think 5 out of the 10.
There you go. Exactly. Okay, so Sable, let's start with setting the stage for us. What was the vibe and the feel of the conference like?
It was upbeat. Mm-hmm. It was warm. And I think I use the word warm because in some spaces, especially with the word conference, it can feel very like cold and structured, and you know, you need this pinstripe suit on and your briefcase. Well, no, I definitely showed up with the jeans, kimono, and some sandals.
Okay.
So it was very light, and people spoke to you, and everyone was very much willing to like help each other. So even though there was obviously panels and special speakers and presenters, it was very much the scene where if someone asked the speaker a question and she did not have the answer, she was open and willing to open it up to someone else in the room who might be able to respond. So there was a lot of give and take and collaboration amongst the attendees, which I think is good because a lot of spaces don't, it just doesn't allow for that.
Yeah, I like that because sometimes, although people call themselves experts, you know, although some people are viewed as experts, you don't always have all the answers. So I like the idea of being open to letting somebody else chime in where maybe you don't exactly know. Like to me, that is a real sign of you being an expert when you know what you don't know. You know? Yeah. Yeah, I like that. So what was the day or the 2 day? It was a 2 day conference. Let's make that clear. It was a 2 day conference, Friday and Saturday. Let's really focus on Saturday because I feel like that was probably the big day of the conference. What was that setup like? Like how was the flow of the day? Was it like all panels and everyone sat in one room? Did you guys break out? Like what was the setup like?
So one, the room was just beautiful. And as someone that, you know, decor just does not, it doesn't register on my radar. I walked in, I was like, ooh. Ah. So the room itself was literally beautiful. So yeah, there was one large room that was divided into sections. So there was like a manicure and pedicure section. There was the section where people were getting their hair done. There was a food section. There was like bar tables, well, bar stools without, well, no, really bar tables without the chairs so people could stand around and converse. There was the section with the vendors. And then there was the section where the panels were actually taking place. So pretty much, you know, it was panel after panel after panel, but it was broken up. So you might have two panels back to back and then you stop for lunch. You stop for snack time. You stop to move around. There were two women there. I think, I don't want to say the wrong name, but either way, they have a yoga studio. And for that break, they stretched us. We literally were all standing up and went and on and breathe in through your nose for four, breathe out for for four. So
I like that.
The day was, although it was long and there were lots of panels, there were enough breaks where you can get up and move around. So you weren't just like sitting there idly. Entire time. So that was definitely helpful because, you know, I don't care how engaging something is, around hour four, your soul starts to ask you, what are you doing?
Right. Right. What are we doing? Like, what are we doing?
Why are we still sitting?
Exactly.
So your spirit didn't have to ask you any questions because there was enough time built in for movement.
I like that. That's super cute. I mean, that's a nice twist on things. And if you are not checking for the Switch, Pivot, or Quit Instagram stories every day, you should be. Because if you were, you would have had a chance to see Sable take over the Switch, Pivot, or Quit Instagram feed on Saturday with all the goodness. So you would have seen what the lovely decor and everything looked like. And if you did see it, and if you are regularly checking for the Instagram stories on Switch, Pivot, or Quit, then go ahead and send a DM and say, yes, I caught it. Whatever. I don't know. But in any case, if you want to check out more about the Fearless Conference, even as we're chatting about it, you can go to their Instagram and it's Fearless Conf. So Fearless, the word fearless, and C-O-N-F. Definitely check that out. Great group of women over there. And we are happy to support them in their venture to just bring this fearless energy and spirit to women in business and in life. So let's go ahead and get into your tips, Kit Sable. The first tip is carve time out to reset as if it's a responsibility. So tell us a little bit more about this one.
So if I'm not mistaken, that came on Friday during a self-care workshop. That was not the name. Not get me lying about any of the names.
Oh, it was right. Creative
and long. I do not remember them. And I don't have the sheet on me. Well, near me.
Okay. We'll just roll with it.
Yeah. Okay. Just roll with me, ladies. But it was just essentially saying that self-care doesn't have to be this long, dramatic thing. And whether or not you want it to be something that takes you 45 minutes a day or 10 minutes a day or an hour a week, is the way you schedule time to get your manicure done, the way you schedule time to have an appointment at the salon, a doctor's appointment, like all those things that you make an appointment for, make an appointment to do something for yourself as if it was a responsibility. It was really just that clean cut and dry.
That's very key, especially when you're an ambitious person that's like always setting these goals and always just trying to get things done and maximize your day. Sometimes you can forget to schedule yourself into your day. So I like that. That's a good one for sure. So the next one is persistence is key. Now, there's also a second part to that. Persistence is key. 200 meetings before getting a dollar. Tell us a bit more about that one.
So I wrote that down. At first, I was like, okay, persistence is key. The woman who was talking, I forget her official title, but I believe she's the creative director of M.M. LaFleur, the clothing line. And she was talking, and her story was very interesting. At the same time, I'm not into fashion. So although I appreciate the story, you know, certain fashion things, you're going to lose me because, quite frankly, it's just not something that makes my ear perk up. But I recognized in her story that her and the co-founders were very, very, very persistent. She came onto the team later. She's not a co-founder for the brand itself. But in the midst of listening to her story, she goes, you know, they were successful with raising money because they're technically a startup. However, it took them over 200 meetings before they raised a dollar.
Wow.
So when she said that, I immediately pulled out my cell phone and was like, persistence is key. 200 meetings before raising a dollar. And I didn't even, that was literally a quote. Like she said, it took 200 meetings before we raised a single dollar. So I thought that was important because I just mean the generation of people who live on social media, have glamorized entrepreneurship and have glamorized this idea of being a CEO or COO, CFO, and working for yourself and being at a startup. But to really sit there and think, if it took 200 meetings, that means you heard 200 no's. Someone shut the door on you 200 times.
Let that sink in.
Essentially told you your idea was not good enough. Right. Your pitch was not strong enough. Your presentation is not ready. Your business isn't far enough along for me to invest in you. That's enough time for you to really doubt, am I doing, like, should I be doing this? Right. And they kept going. Mm-hmm. The average person by the 10th no, even the first no would have called somebody and cried.
Yeah,
but
for sure. No,
they would have been seriously doubting. Yeah. By the 50th no, they would have gotten a full-time job, quit, you know, whatever it was.
For sure.
So you have to realize these people who you're glamorizing, who have made it, and I throw made in quotations, but who have really gotten to a point where they are truly living and sustaining themselves and a team of people, because they have a hired staff with their business, what they really like endured to get there. Like, that was not a pretty Instagram post and a quick retweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's almost like a process of insanity, because they say, you know, what is it? I was doing the same thing over and over and getting the same result. Well, that's exactly what they did, with the hope and with the confidence and with this faith of knowing somebody eventually is going to say yes, somebody's going to buy into this. So I give like major props to them. I had no idea about their story.
And people's, you know, and you hear the words persistence is key, because that was something that she said, like, you know, someone's like, well, how did you do it? It's like persistent. Mm-hmm. And when you really think about the definition of persistence, it literally means to keep going. Like, you don't stop.
Right.
Like you said, at what point are you just straight up crazy?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, this is a key takeaway. Like, if you really, really want it, whatever it is for you, you have got to be persistent enough to push past every single last no and just wait for that one yes.
Right. Right. And you know, it's so funny. I heard a similar story on the How I Built This podcast. And sometimes I can get facts mixed up. So I can't, don't quote me. It was either the founder of Airbnb. I think it was his story, but it could have been Instagram, but I think it was Airbnb. In any case, the whole point of it is that he said they had 20 email introductions to potential investors. Only 10 of those people responded and said, yes, let's, you know, like actually set up a meeting. And only 5 of those people actually moved forward with setting up physical meetings with them. Mm-hmm. And out of that, none of those people invested in their company. So it's like there is the rejection factor. And that's not even just for startups and entrepreneurship. That's for everything. That is for everything. You know, you may go for a promotion. You may ask for a promotion. You may go for a job. You get told no. Well, what are you going to do? And I heard something recently, and it was just talking about the fact that you just like we talk about going above and beyond, but sometimes you have to be insane about going above and beyond so that you can prove to people that may be doubting you and your skill set or your idea or whatever, like, no, this is worth it. And you're so insane about it that they start to believe you. So you got to keep going. I like that. Persistence is key. Okay. So the third tip is follow up 6 times before leaving it alone. This one is interesting.
So to provide some context for that, mm-hmm. there was a panelist who was telling a story, essentially about a woman that she works for herself in whatever capacity. I think she's in client services. She is not hungry for clients. She is doing financially well and mm-hmm. has been for a significant period of time. Like we're talking 10 years plus here. Meaning she's in no need to send an invoice to anyone. Mm-hmm. No matter what, she will still follow up with someone. Whether it be a client, someone she's pitching for a partnership, whatever the capacity, she will follow up with them 6 times before, without a response, without receiving a response, before leaving it alone. And she schedules it in her calendar. Like, I followed up with him on this day, a week later, 7 days, however she spreads it out. Like, wow. She knows how many times she's followed up before the relationship is really dropped, okay? So the woman who's telling this story about this individual said when she first heard this, she thought that this woman was crazy. Like, you know, she was like, I would feel like a stalker, wouldn't you?
Yeah, everyone in the audience, sure.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
That she said, here's the thing. When she asked this woman, like, that you don't feel a little, just a little bit stalkerish? Mm-hmm. And the woman said, you know, we assume people are checking their emails the way we do.
Right.
Especially when you're dealing with people who are higher up the food chain. She said they're not bothered by it. They're on mm-hmm. the yacht. They're on the plane. They're on the boat. They're in the meeting. They might not have seen your first 3 emails. Mm-hmm. They'll see that 4th one. Maybe they didn't see the first 4. They'll see that 5th one. Mm. Now, if you don't get a response after 6, they saw it. They're not responding.
Yeah, they're just not interested. Yeah, they're
just
not going to
respond. Interested. But sometimes it's a reminder. And she said, how many times have you opened an email, mm-hmm. intended to respond, and never did?
So true.
And you completely forgot about it. So that follow-up email is a reminder. And then you're like, oh, I was supposed to respond. Mm. And I thought to myself, well, one, this ties into persistence is key.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, if a woman who is in no need of another dollar can be this diligent
right.
in reaching out to people, nobody else has an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
And to remove the ego factor from, like, who do you think you are, like, not responding to me? Maybe they didn't see it. Just send it again.
Mm. This one, I like this one. This is this right here is like, wow.
It's a low-key game changer.
I was just about to say it's a game changer because, like you said, if this woman who is secure in her position, in her company, in her business is going this far above and beyond, that means that all of us every day can do minimum the same that she's doing.
Yeah.
Because like you said, and like she said in her story, it just may be that the person did not get the email, or that they have so many emails coming in. Maybe that fifth email hits at the right time,
yeah,
and they happen to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like,
and then there's your opportunity. But yeah, also the other thing, this goes back with, like you said, persistence and understanding and receiving no, because six times out, if they don't say anything back, then you're like, oh, okay, I get it. Memo received. You're not that interested. But even the third, the fourth, the fifth, that's you becoming more and more comfortable with either a lack of response or mm-hmm. Let's say a silent rejection.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's a good, what do I want to call it? It's not like a lesson, but it's an exercise. It's like a good exercise in preparing yourself for what may be ahead with potential rejection. Okay, so number four was, you can have it all. You can't have it all at the same time. I thought this one was funny. I laughed when I read it. So what's up with that one?
This one came with, there was a panel, and it was, there was a woman there. I can see her face. I can see her outfit. It was 22 speakers, y'all. So I can't, it was just not possible to keep up with all these names.
Right.
But she is recently married, and she recently, had a baby. I think her baby is less than 6 months old. And she has a high position in a company, a cable company in Philadelphia that was like passed down to her somehow by way of family.
Mm.
So she mentioned, so that's the context for this, because someone asked about, the moderator asked about work-life balance. Men never get asked this question. Okay. Well, we know why, but mm-hmm. in the midst of this, she said, you can have it all. You cannot have it all at the same time. And the minute you stop trying to force everything to coexist peacefully at the same exact time all day, every day, you will realize you can have it all. She said, you know, if you really think about your whole life, if you pull back, like if you had a camera, if you zoomed out mm-hmm. and you looked at the whole picture, I should say.
The full landscape.
Yeah, the mm-hmm. full landscape. You can't the camera can't focus on everything. The mm-hmm. camera only focuses on, depending on how fancy your camera is, upwards of about, you know, 2-3 things at the same time.
But usually it has to, it picks one key focal point. Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It centers on one, and then it'll find like the other two faces.
Right.
Portrait of people, the other two faces around it. She said that's how she, now that she's married, because remember, she's newly married and she has a baby under the age of 6 months. That's how she's now approaching her life. Right now, she's focusing on three things: work, family, and literally like her baby.
Mm.
Even though family's part of baby, but it's like work, home, baby. Mm-hmm. And then she said, I would love to drop this weight, but I can't add fitness in right now.
Mm.
Maybe at one point it'll be family, work, fitness. Like, you can focus on but three things well at a time. If you try to spread yourself thin across all areas of life, whether that be professional, whether that be home, fitness, travel, like if you try to do all these things simultaneously, that's when people start asking you about work-life balance, because you cannot balance all of those things. You cannot mm-hmm. juggle all of those things at the same time. So being comfortable and recognizing within 1 year, and my brain is breaking this down, but like within 1 year, you have four quarters. Mm-hmm. Maybe in that first quarter, you're focusing on these three things. And then in the second quarter, you take off one, you keep two, but you add another one into the equation. So it's not that you're not working on you and what you want, but you're not trying to do it all at once, because mm-hmm. that's when the wheels start turning and you start feeling sleep deprived and you're trying to figure out when's the last time you ate because you never sat down.
Right. And then you reach that burnout point. And when you reach that burnout point, you have no capacity to execute well on anything. Like, it's just not going to happen. So why even take yourself there? And the body can only handle but so much. So it's like, you already know when you're just burning like all these different fires at the same time, or candles, or whatever you want to call it, you know, eventually, like, okay, something is going to happen, and a big gust of wind, and all these are going to blow out.
Something's got to give.
Yeah. Like, it's just, it's inevitable. We all know that. Like, we know that. So I like that advice, because it just makes you feel okay about not trying to be superwoman to everybody and all things in your life.
This episode of the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast is brought to you by the Switch, Pivot, or Quit SPQ Strategy Sessions. If you are looking to make a change in your personal, professional life, and you just kind of stuck on what's next, how do I get started, what do? I need to talk this through with someone. I need some tools. I need some encouragement. I need some ideas. I need some resources. I need solutions. If you are feeling like that, the Switch, Pivot, or Quit Strategy Sessions are perfect for you. Head over to switchpivotorquit.com and book your session today.
Okay, number five, an empowering fuck it factor. We need to hear more about this fuck it factor. What is up with that?
You know, I really wish I remember who said it. I do. Okay. I can see her face. She was the last keynote. Okay. It came at the keynote at the end. So this woman, I'm going to try to look at the speaker picture. This is so not professional, guys, but I want to know the woman.
We want to know her name, right? We want to know her name.
We deserve to know her name. Yasmin Mustafa is the one who said this. This woman's story is just straight up phenomenal, in a sense that if you knew all of the things and barriers and obstacles that she faced, literally from a little girl up until moving to this country as a refugee, the fact that she could stand there and smile and take all of us were ready to cry, okay? Mm. And not out of sadness, out of joy, and just being proud of the fact that she didn't give up. Mm. And so it was like, she was another person that just made you feel like you have no excuse not to overcome and push through whatever it is you're going through, mental health issues aside. But someone asked her at the end, like, with all of that, because I'm talking refugee, immigrant, to learn you're undocumented, mm-hmm. and you can't enroll in a university because you don't have a social security number, even though you've been living in the country for years. Like, things like this do happen. Mm-hmm. She didn't become a citizen until 2012. Mm-hmm. Like all of these things. And I don't know, I have no idea how old this woman is, but let's say she's far past 12. And it's like, how are you here? Like, and how are you still thriving? And she has started nonprofits. She has sold businesses. I mean, she was named one of the best Philadelphians of 2016. Like, this woman is doing things, amazing things, and they're all social entrepreneurship impact organizations and such. Someone said, like, how? Just like, how? And she said, there just has to come a point where you have an empowering fuck it factor. Mm. Like, it doesn't matter what's going on, what has happened, fuck it. I'm going to get it done. I'm going to make it. I'm going to push through. I don't know how. I don't know when. Shoot, I don't even know where. Mm-hmm. But I know why. And I'm going, fuck it. Like, it's going to get done. Mm. And I was just sitting there like, so let me write this down. Right. Like, before I get too carried away, let me write this down. I'm a correspondent. I'm a faux journalist for the day. So after I remembered to write it down, I was just sitting there looking at her like, all right, fuck it. Like,
yeah,
you have to get it done. Like, you can sit there and you can complain,
make excuses.
Mm-hmm. She's like, there will be failures, there will be obstacles, there will mm-hmm. be fear. There will always be all these things. Mm-hmm. And the difference between those who are successful and those who are not, or those who see all of these obstacles, fear, anxiety, and see opportunity versus a block. Mm. And how do you work through the block because you can see opportunity? You're like, fuck it, I'm going for it.
Right.
Like, I might fall flat. I'm about to cuss again. I mean, we already said fuck it. So I might fall flat on my ass, but I went for it.
Right.
And I was just like, well, now this is girl power. Mm-hmm. A room full of women talking about fuck it.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's really what life is about too, and that's what we all just keep trying to remind ourselves and hammer into our mindset so that we become more and more comfortable with it. It's like, we have to take these chances. If you don't take these chances, you'll probably regret the things that you didn't do and the things that you didn't try, the things that you didn't see, the places you didn't go, the people you didn't meet, all of that, because it was up to you. But you didn't say, fuck it. I'm just going to do it.
I'm just going to try it.
I'm just going to go. I'm going to keep going. You know, like there has to come a certain point where you just forget about
the what ifs. What if this happens? What if this goes wrong? You're just like, no, fuck it. I'm going to try.
Right. Right. That right there is a perfect way to wrap up that experience at the Fearless Conference. Like, fearless and fuck it go hand in hand. No, I'm just kidding. I love it. I love it. I love it. I can't say that enough. I love you, Sable, for taking the time out of your weekend to go and be our special correspondent. Appreciate you. And always enjoy having you on the show because you're just a ball of fun. You guys, if you want to know more about Sable, you can always check her out on Instagram at Real Brown Girls, or you can go to realbrowngirls.com and you can stalk her there. But she's fun and you'll love her. And if you haven't already checked her out, and if you're not already familiar with her, get into her, okay?
You know, I think I end every show with the "am." I don't have any home training.
It's okay. That's your signature now. Thank you, Boo. Appreciate you for being on the show.
Bye, ladies.
And as always, guys, keep killing it.